This week's epistle is from the first letter of the blessed Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Here, brethren, is an account of the gospel I preached to you. It was this that was handed on to you. Upon this, your faith rests. Through this, if you keep in mind the tenor of its preaching, you are in the way of salvation, unless indeed your belief was ill-founded. The chief message I handed on to you, as it was handed on to me, was that Christ, as the scriptures had foretold, died for our sins. That he was buried, and then, as the scriptures had foretold, rose again on the third day. That he was seen by Cephas, then by the 11 apostles, and afterwards by more than 500 of the brethren at once, most of whom are alive at this day, but some have gone to their rest. Then he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, I too saw him, like the last child that comes to birth unexpectedly. Of all the apostles, I am the least. No, I am not fit to be called an apostle, since there was a time when I persecuted the church of God. Only by God's grace, I am what I am, and the grace he has shown me has not been without fruit. Please stand for a reading from the Holy Gospel, a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In those days, Jesus set out again from the region of Tyre and came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, right into the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and dumb, with the prayer that he would lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside out of the multitude. He put his fingers into his ears, and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and sighed, "Ephphatha," he said, that is, "be opened." Whereupon his ears were opened, and the bond which tied his tongue was loosed, and he talked plainly. And he laid a strict charge on them not to speak of it to anyone. But the more he charged them, the more widely they published it, and were more than ever astonished. "He has done well," they said, "in all his doings. He has made the deaf hear and the dumb speak." Thus far the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. He has done well in all his doings. He has made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. Anybody who's been to college knows what it's like to hear the dumb speak. My sisters and brothers, sometimes we wish he had not done, somebody got it just now. We wish that he had not done that, but here we are. In fact, what the gospel means is that this man who could not speak now suddenly can. I want you to take that and put it in your front pocket for just a moment. We'll come back to it. It was this beautiful encounter with Jesus Christ that changes the world for this individual. And you and I, we've had a similar encounter with Jesus Christ. It's changed our lives. It's changed us from the inside out. Now, my question is, why do we not say something about it out in the world? I know what it's like to be German Catholic or to be Irish Catholic. They're both very similar, at least insofar as I don't like talking about my faith to myself, much less other people, right? This is just not what you do. And yet, if the Lord has changed us from the inside out, how could we not speak of him to others? How could we not invite other people to meet him as well, to bring them closer and closer to Jesus Christ? That's what you and I are asked to do, are called to do. It's our mission as members of the faithful to increase his holy church, to bring others with us in attendance in front of him, here at Holy Mass especially. For the last 3 weeks now, this is my fourth week in a row offering this Mass for you, and each weekend afterwards I'll stand in the back, shake some hands, that kind of thing, and every weekend so far, somebody has mentioned something about, why doesn't the bishop just give us a parish? Why don't we have an extraordinary form parish for the diocese? It's an option. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be great? And the answer is yes, of course. I would love for that to happen. I don't know whether it will, right? I'm not in the bishop's inner circle. I don't have his ear, so I can't really tell you anything in that sense. But I know his mind well enough to know that if he does want to do something like that, the first question he's going to say is, are the people who attend that Mass every week at St. Mary's good parishioners? Are they active in the parish? Can they keep up a parish? And so that's my encouragement for you. I can never guarantee or promise anything. But if we did want a parish that is specific to the extraordinary form in this diocese, the first thing we're going to have to do is demonstrate that we want to be a part of a parish. So you come here to Mass every week. Glory be to God. Are you registered here at St. Mary and John? Have you bothered to fill out the registration form, right? That's a great first start. Fill out a registration form. I have no idea where you get them. I assume you just call the parish office, but maybe you have to skywrite it or something. I don't know. But still, to become a good parishioner here at the parish, step one is to get registered. Do you tithe here? Do you give to the CPC? You might be saying to yourself, Father, there's stuff that goes on at this parish or that parish or wherever that I don't really like or I don't really agree with. Well, yeah, but this isn't a political contribution, right? This is assisting the church with her mission to the poor, her mission to, most importantly, save souls. I wish that was free, but it costs money. And so do you tithe to St. Mary's? Are you active in its outreach programs, right? Are you active members here at the parish? Because again, if the subject gets brought up, and trust me, I will bring it up if nothing else, the bishop's first question is going to be, are they already active in the parish where they're at? If I can say yes and kind of grease those wheels, what that means is the bishop is going to think they're ready for their own parish then. My sisters and brothers, like this man who was mute, who could not speak, and then his mouth was opened, you too, your mouths have been opened to share the beauty of what you have found here. So get out there, invite people. You know, don't tell them about why, you know, Saints Pain and Difficulty, where they go to Mass, is a terrible place to go, or why Monsignor Ogre over at that parish is a terrible human being. No, then none of that. Speak out of a joyful heart. Speak out of one that has met the Lord Jesus and say, I can show you where he lives. I can introduce you to Jesus Christ. And then bring them with you to Sunday Mass. They're not going to have any idea what's going on, so be very patient with them. Be very encouraging of them. And then understand that there was a time, too, when you didn't know what was going on. I still don't know what's going on, so that's okay. You can probably tell, right? I'm figuring it out as I go. And yet here we are, giving glory to God. Let's make sure that we don't become mute once again as soon as we step out these doors, but rather, like the gradual and the Alleluia tell us today, to be filled with praise of God, to be singing a new song, to be speaking the glory of God out in the world, and inviting others to encounter that same glory, to embrace that same glory for themselves, so that we might all be in that number when the saints go marching in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.